lives together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My bed is just a little big. My heart is just a little big. But brother, I am bad. And
they call me the dream. I used to read.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Back again. One man band with a microphone in my hand. Well, it's clipped onto my shirt, technically, but that sounded better. It like rhymed. But either way, what's up? Glad to be here for sure. Being the alternative, what's up? Glad everybody's listening. Thanks to y'all who shouted out to me, former, you know, teammates, training partners, and friends, and people who listen and wanted to give words of encouragement and support, you know. Man, I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, you guys can't know how much it means to have you guys' support. I think at a certain point, you know, everybody gets used to people being where they are, and we kind of get comfortable, and, you know, life gets back to normal life, and we you know, forget to check in on people and see how they're doing and, you know, genuinely touch base. So that was nice to have a few people reach out and just like to reconnect and stuff like that. So really motivated me to make sure that I was going to do another one. So here it is, another one. One of the things I've been thinking about lately a lot, and it pertains to like an overall thing for me, is like, what is jiu-jitsu? You know, people have all these different terms that they're using, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Gracie jiu-jitsu. I hear people say American jiu-jitsu, just grappling, or gi versus no gi, or, you know, wrestling, or judo, or sambo, or what, you know, insert name of said grappling art here. But, you know, what is jiu-jitsu supposed to be? Is it a sport? Is it a martial art? Is it for self-defense? Is it for, like, fighting? Like, offensive fighting? You know, valetudo or MMA in the streets, whatever, you know? What is the use? And I think everybody, not everybody obviously, but there's a wide range of opinions of why people are doing jiu-jitsu. What are they starting for? What are they looking for to get out of it? And then obviously as time goes on, things shift and change naturally, and your why, so to say, of being there can change for sure. And that's not what I'm saying. But if wrestling is wrestling, and it's simple, not easy, right? Not easy. I'm not saying it's easy to do. I'm saying it's simple as far as the strategies and the plans can be pretty easy. The game is figured out. But it's also really rough, and it also teaches you how to, like, not give up, how to dominate people, how to be a hustler, like on the mats and stuff. Does that select more naturally towards athletes, or does that select towards anyone? Is wrestling something that typically anyone could get good at to a degree? I mean, yeah, from understanding, yeah, from a technical perspective, but you're probably not going to be as good as the guy who's wrestled since they were a child and then has wrestled their life, you know. You're not going to be as good if you start late with wrestling, okay? Same goes for jiu-jitsu, though, right? But I think what jiu-jitsu is doing or has done in various segments of the population is it's to build up people who aren't the athletes. is what initially the mission was, right? Was to help the smaller person, at least from the jiu-jitsu that we're doing now perspective, right? If you go all the way back to like Japanese jiu-jitsu, I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm looking into stuff because that's how my brain works. But definitely the jiu-jitsu that we all know and love and practice now is essentially from Brazil, the Gracie family, to a degree. They are the ones that popularized this style that we're all using and learning and training. And so the story is that it's built for the smaller person to be able to beat the bigger, stronger person. And you know, if you've trained much, you know that that's true, right? You know that definitely happens. How much jiu-jitsu do you need to be a smaller person to beat a bigger person, though? And how small versus how big? Okay. And then does this other person do jiu-jitsu too? Do they train the same thing you train? Because that's why there's weight classes and everything, even jiu-jitsu. We can see smaller people winning against bigger people, but when there's a big gap, it's much more rare. It just is. So does that mean that jiu-jitsu is not effective anymore when you're going against a bigger person that also knows it? Well, isn't that everything? Boxing, kickboxing, MMA, any type of like combat sport is that way, or martial art is that way. They all have weight classes. Now, there's a point of diminishing return where you could be too big and too heavy and things can't work. But I think what it boils down to is like the rules of engagement, the rules of the thing that you're doing. Do you train to go compete in matches at tournaments or super fights? Then you're looking for a certain style of jiu-jitsu, grappling, what have you, that'll help maximize either points and winning by points, not giving up points, and submissions, which could be like submission only, where you may give away positions and give up dominance at times just to push action to try to get towards a submission attack to win. And that is interesting, right? Those two things alone bring two different kinds of jiu-jitsu, though. But you're doing sport jiu-jitsu. You're doing competitive style jiu-jitsu, though. But are you doing the style that's geared towards positional dominance and scoring points? Or are you sub-hunting, looking to only try to get submissions as fast as you can? That's a difference. If you're in one thing and you're trying to do the other, well, it's not going to work. You have to be able to do both if you're going to be competing in them, right? You can't just go one to the other and then be like, oh, I'm a points guy, or oh, I'm a sub only guy. That's a lame excuse. Nobody cares. Nobody really cares if you do only no gi and you go to a gi tournament, or you only do gi and you go to a no gi tournament and lose. That's what happens, right? And so what is jiu-jitsu then for the person who is coming in wanting to learn how to be stronger, braver, and doesn't have any athletic background either, though? They don't have a desire to compete and to roll hard yet, right? I think these things come with time, that people, when they learn more, they do get more comfortable being in those situations, okay? But you can't just throw everybody out there right away and let them just start rolling or just getting after it. Even if they are more athletic, that's still probably not the smartest idea, because people get hurt, you know? It's dangerous. And then what if you've got the self-defense person paired up with the sport person? I don't know. These are things that, as a school – like leader, as the coach of everyone, it's kind of tough on some days to like hit the mark for everyone if someone's not really into one side of this or the other. I have to try to like find the different avenues for everybody. And, you know, that's pretty tough because I want to appeal to as many of the people as we can that fit in, right? But then at the end of the day, like, what is the real thing that we should be doing? Should we be selecting for the athletes? Should we really be selecting for the people who are already bigger, stronger, faster, and already have all the advantages? Or should we be selecting more for the person who doesn't have all that? The person who needs some scaffolding to be built up to go out there and get into the roles, and then in case somebody ever really like tries to grab them, they're able to defend themselves. And then is this jiu-jitsu that we're doing now for points or for submission only, does that work in a fight? And like, I know that the average, whatever, right? Of course it can. Of course it can. But in general, for the average person, is it a better use of their time to be chasing down bolos and, you know, rolling back takes and things like that when they may never really go compete for that? And if they're going to be doing this, it's not going to be in a padded room with mats and, you know, safety stuff everywhere. It'll be some random and, you know, situation. And you go to wherever your training is, right? You fall to your training whenever things get bad. And if you don't have the right stuff programmed in first, do you believe in your jiu-jitsu if you can't like force it? And should you even force jiu-jitsu? Is that jiu-jitsu if you're forcing it? Because if it's self-defense, right, I'm just trying to defend myself, that could mean, you know, choking someone, breaking their arm, you know, throwing some strikes to defend myself, for sure. I'm not saying that's not the truth. But at what point does it go from defense to offense? You know, legally, that's a problem. Maybe in situations, it doesn't matter as much when you're out and someone's attacking you, right? All bets are off. There are no rules. But I've just been thinking about that a lot. You know, what jiu-jitsu is real? Which one? Is it the stuff that's in the UFC? I really don't think so. Like, there's good jiu-jitsu guys in there, don't get me wrong. And those guys can fight like crazy, don't get me wrong. But that's not really like jiu-jitsu. If you slow down to start trying to like work something and it's taking too long, you start getting boos, they'll stand it up. It's only 5-minute round. It takes a while to get a guy down sometimes and to make this stuff work. Okay? I don't think jiu-jitsu was designed with entertainment in mind. You know? And I don't say that it's wrong to have an entertaining style. I like jiu-jitsu for entertainment. I like to compete. I like to go roll and do fun things, you know? So that's what I'm saying, is like, I understand all the avenues of where everybody's at. And so what I'm trying to think about is like, where do all these places intersect? What is the main hub for all of this parts, these parts? Where do they come together? Where do they separate? Because the moves are still the same moves, the same movements, the same body stuff. It's the philosophy, maybe. That's definitely a part of it. Is it, you know, the rules, obviously, you know? And so I wonder about that. And I've heard something recently that made me start thinking about it a lot. And we're really driven as a culture by social media, by trends and things that are, you know, really flashy, for lack of a better term. I don't know. Things that just like are attention grabbing. And if you look at the number of the people who do jujitsu, of the people that do jujitsu, more of them are white and blue belts than are black and brown belts, probably, right? But when you look at social media jujitsu stuff, all you see are the moves that are like, or the things that are really built towards entertainment a lot of times. You don't get a lot of the substance, but then you get these guys that see this, they see it online, and they're like, oh, I can do that. And so then they sacrifice maybe 10 other things that would be better to try to do for the novelty. So who's driving the culture? And should they be driving the culture if they don't know what they're doing, right? If like as black belts or as the upper belts, as the upper ranks, like they don't know what they're doing, or they would be in charge of it all. You know what I mean? Like there's definitely freedom in creation, and that's not what I'm saying either, right? I don't mean don't be creative. But when you're getting too far away from maybe what's real in a sense, like meaning what all has to go right for you to be able to get this particular move or thing to work. The more pieces it has to have, the more things you have to do to make it go right, the lower percentage that it is. Jiu-jitsu is big. There's a lot of things going on, okay? But you really can't look at it all at one time. That's too much. You look at one or two things at a time, two or three things right there everywhere you are. That's it. So my question to everybody, if you guys would, just like, I'm interested to know. I really am. I'm really interested to know. Is chasing the trends good for jiu-jitsu? It's fun. And it could be good for business, right? It probably is better for business even to let everybody just chase their own desires and have fun and, you know, whatever, chase their own little special interests, for sure. But is that doing them the best service as a coach, instructor, teacher, if you don't also try to bring them back a little bit sometimes and let them know what you think, right? From your experience, because that's what matters, is who's been there and who's done it, or who's at least seen it done enough times or been around people who have done it. If you've never done it, if you've never really been around somebody that's done it, if all you've done is see it online, I don't think that's the same thing. What do y'all think? What do you guys think? Is it the same thing? Are we doing the same jiu-jitsu that we were doing before? And I don't mean like back in the 90s even. Like, is this the same jiu-jitsu that I started doing in 2008 and 2009? It's not, is it? Let me know, guys. Much love. Talk to y'all later.